1 Ryan, beginning a visit with Miss Mary and Marvin this Saturday after supper, the 24th of February, 73, with Rick and Debbie. Miss Mary's birthday, or the day after her birthday. Channel 1 Right, beginning of the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Saturday after supper, the 24th of February, 73, with Rick and Debbie, the day after Miss Mary's birthday. Channel 1 over, right, and beginning of the visit with Miss Mary and Marvin after supper, the 24th of February, 73, Miss Mary's birthday.
The day older than yesterday. Oh, no. Yeah, to hang your pocketbook on the chair. Hi, Marvin.
Hi, Eddie. Set
it down somewhere. Mine looks like to me you're the one that had the birthday. Look at that shirt.
Nice shirt.
That's pretty cool.
Ooh.
That's a heavy one, too.
Yeah. This is the reason I'm not cold. That was one my wife got me for a Christmas present.
That is nice.
Well, sir, we'll just... we didn't have a thing tonight but cabbage.
Is that right?
What did you have?
Oh... I didn't have anything either. I had some chicken and rice and some biscuit and fried Irish potatoes. Pork and beans.
Oh, she didn't have anything, did she?
I told Marvin, I said, I'm so hungry for something to eat.
Are you still hungry?
Yeah. Sure am.
Size of those meals, I go over and eat lunch with you, and I can't eat for the next 2 or 3 days.
You mind if I send him over every once in a while?
No.
She'll put me to work cutting tree limbs if I'm not careful.
That's right.
Oh,
Marvin's been into it. You just ought to come over and help him. He's been trimming up my cedar trees and hauling them off.
Hauling them off, too?
The limbs.
All in the trash. Limbs about so.
Yeah, you were doing that the other day.
I'm still in that business. The tree surgeon business.
No more hired help to get up there and cut them?
Not at that price.
No, these
tippy,
cents.
Tippy, 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 tippy.
These cents to be cut on the ground.
Miss Mary. Oh.
He's in there figuring up his income tax. Now y'all
don't
keep
don't
quiet.
Sound like, you know, figuring
to
me.
Say that louder.
Don't sound like figuring to me.
You figured yours up?
We done paid ours.
Miss Mary, don't tell me that.
$1,400 worth.
My Lord.
But there come a man out there and he got our papers and me and Marvin got him to look them over and he said there was a mistake.
I think it's something.
And he carried him into town and we got an appointment at 3:30 Wednesday afternoon.
Well, he done sent him a check for the thing, but I think we can make an amending for him.
He just made a mistake.
Probably. Yeah.
That
fellow
that figured it?
The income tax. He's too old.
One, that's one thing.
And he's too forgetful and he can't see.
Oh, he's been doing this.
Yes,
oh, yeah,
he's been doing it for years. But he didn't have us but $89 worth of feed.
We had way over.
$89
worth
of
feed?
Oh, that's wrong.
Seed, fertilizer.
We had something over around about $3,000 worth.
Well, of course you did.
That's wrong, yeah.
You see, we bought lots of clover seed, lots of fertilizer to fertilize the clover, and lots of feed.
And the taxes was close on to $500, and pasture rent was $241, and then our insurance comes due every 6 months. And Joe said when he seen it, he said, I'm going to kill these. He kept part of the papers home with him.
You mean that fella came back out after you figured it?
Oh, no,
this
is
another man.
Oh, he don't work by himself.
No, friend of ours. This was a friend that come by. He's at the university.
But
with
see,
the
he carried it home, carried the papers home and looked over part of them.
Oh.
And he called us up and he said that it sure was a bad mistake.
With, you know, telling him about what the income tax cost us and everything. And he knew that we had bought a lot of seed and feed and fertilizer. So he said, it can't be. And I said, well, it was. And he wanted to know if we mind if he looked at the papers, and not at all. So he started finding mistakes time he seen them.
Well, happy birthday.
Howdy.
Thank you. Same to you.
You did what, Marvin?
We
and
talking
so
about
he went and talked to another income tax lady about it. And made us a date with next Wednesday at 3:30 to go and have them get
over.
Oh,
these be different people.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking orders for chocolate ice cream. You?
Miss Miles, I couldn't eat a
you
bite.
You have a bite? Do you have dessert tonight with us?
Well, give me just a little bit. Now, not much.
You. Just a little.
Do you want a candle in yours?
Yes.
No, we're talking about the income
just,
tax, Mr.
Miles. It'll have to be a pearl big one. But I ain't 35. Me and Jack Benny is the same age.
Well, he was 37 the last
time. He was.
Well, I tell you, it used to be before they changed George Washington's birthday, he was just a day older than she is.
Yeah.
But they changed it back to the 19th, so that puts her now about 4 days, him about 4 days older than her.
Yeah. He's ahead of her now.
Yeah, about 4 days. Well, it was figured rough.
Yeah,
rough.
Well, was that cash money you put out?
But what happened? We let the accountant fix our returns, and he just made some mistakes in it. That's all, some bad ones.
Miss Pan said
we were going to have it done.
A Dr. Anderson out there at the university carried his up there and said he would never fix his no more. Because
oh,
he made too many blunders on
it.
To
the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have those H&R Block.
Yes, but I hear people say that.
Don't mess with them.
You don't want to fool with them.
Well,
they
that's
make,
not where you went.
They make worse mistakes. No, we've had this guy. Oh, ever since way back in the late 40s, I guess, about 48, 49.
But he just
using
got
him
too
right
old
on up
and
until
forgetful.
Now, but he's got old, real old, you know, and he can't see good, and he just forgets.
Well, I didn't know anybody but Block used to do it.
There's lots of accountants in town.
Well, I won't go to him. Well, let me tell you, Marvin, you all were talking about it, and you all sort of proud fans much the other day, it looked to me like.
Well,
don't worry, it made us sick.
No, we weren't proud of it at all.
Because I knew it was a darn mistake. But when the income tax man says you owe it, you got to pay it. But Joe come along and we was telling him about it, and he said, uh-uh. He said, that ain't right. And he looked at part of the papers, and he said right away, he said, And I showed him the copy of, you know, the form that the man made out. And he said, why, good night. He said, I don't reckon he did fix it right. He had our seed, feed, fertilize at $89.
And then they're all in the same block. And it's supposed to be separated.
And he said that Marvin was going to get a done from the income tax people for what he made out at the university till June the 6th. Well, he said he liked $20 by Mr. Evans's account sending enough money.
Well, what happened, he put down what I made here, and he put down like $20 putting down what I made here, and then he entered what I made over here. So it's all messed up in the wrong place. We just
if you don't put in enough, along as you make
it, that's right,
they get after you.
Yes, sir. They get you.
They don't want it all in one lump sum, do they?
No, sir, but that's the way we pay it. That's the way we've always paid it. I don't fool with them. It's
he means though while you was at the university.
Oh, yeah, when I was at the university, they take it out every 2 weeks whether I wanted them to or not.
Yeah.
You don't even see it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mary. Happy birthday to you.
Well,
wow.
That makes about 3 times I've had it.
Yeah, okay.
Is that right? Well, Dan Byrne, I wished I'd been around.
3 times.
Well, I'll be confound.
I'll bet that's the healthiest candle you've had.
Well, that's the only scandal I've had. I'm going to let it burn.
Just let it burn.
I'm not going to drink wine.
No matter.
You know who I've been thinking about? I've been thinking about old Louise Graham. Mm-hmm. Is she ever going to... I was thinking, is she at her birthday? She'd pick things up, wouldn't she? She'd liven things up.
I mean.
Is she ever coming back to this country?
I don't think.
She's up at the river, and that's one at Fanny Springs.
She's over there at Suwannee River.
I don't think she'll ever move back home.
That boy won't let her.
What boy?
Her son.
Oh, you mean old...
He run them all.
Andy?
Yes, sir. You know what I'd do if I was Louise? I'd run him off.
You know, a lot of people are afraid of Andy.
Well, sir, son or no son, I'd go back home. And if he come down there and started to raise and sand, I'd just go to the judge and I'd get me a peace warrant.
That don't do no
good. Well, if that didn't do no good, then the sheriff could come up there and pick him up.
Hey.
That would do good. I mean,
he run the sheriff off a time or two.
We
know,
haven't
he,
even
they
gotten
had the wrong
the
sheriff.
Huh?
They had the wrong sheriff.
Oh.
Get one that won't run.
Don't you wish you got a little camel?
You better put it out.
No.
Drink to your health.
Drink
That's
your
right.
Wine.
Many more.
Many
birthdays.
More.
Take up your wine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
There you are. I'm
going to
click your glass.
Another bone
to cleave. Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
She's staying over there. Swan Ribbon can't come home.
That's right. I talked to her daughter.
Yes.
What's her name?
Juanita.
And Juanita told me, she said, that old nasty brother of hers said Whitey done everything in the world he could to get along with him and said it weren't Whitey's fault, but said he was just so mean till Mama took him and went to Mississippi.
North Carolina or South Carolina.
Mississippi,
one of the,
I think it
somewhere
was.
She left.
To get, thought maybe that it would straighten Andrew out, and then they come back. that anger got on to him again. And so he just picked up and left. And they got a nice home down on the river.
Yeah.
And getting along good. Marvin and I went to see him not too long ago.
Well, what did he do to Ronald?
Oh, what was that? Now, you hadn't told me about this. What was that about the tombstone?
Oh.
He went to the cemetery. And he got his daddy's tombstone and set it on the outside of the window right where Louise slept.
Oh.
If I'd been her, I'd have made him carry that tombstone back and put it where it belonged.
Took it.
Yeah,
out of the cemetery.
Yeah, he thought he done it to aggravate his mama because she got married.
He went and got his daddy's
tombstone and brought it and set it out on the outside of the window right by Louise's bed.
Well, no wonder she went to the Suwannee River. I never heard of anything like that.
I never did either. And one time he went and got some rock out of the cemetery. And went and throwed it in a feller's front yard.
Mm-hmm.
That was letting him know what he'd do to him, you know.
Oh, really?
This was a fella that Louise kind of went around with before she met Whitey. He's dead now. He died with cancer.
Yeah. You know, I never have seen Whitey. What you all say, he's a pretty nice fellow.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be a pretty nice fellow.
He and Louise are doing real good down there at the river.
Yeah.
He was custodian supervisor for the university out there for years.
Oh, really? In what part?
I think it was on the campus, right?
I
think he just taken
y'all
care of that.
Y'all came to see us yesterday.
The whole campus,
y'all
you know, not the whole campus,
see
but
you all.
The main part of the office.
Sure did.
You were here?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. Nobody
we went
that.
To Micanopy to get us some kerosene. And then we went home and put that kerosene in the tank, and we went down here to the Orange Hill. Isn't that top of the hill?
Hilltop, I call it.
Orange Hill.
And got
Orange.
10 gallons.
Something or other.
And we came back by here.
Well, there's a Shell station.
Nobody, we didn't see nothing. Nobody, the car was gone. His car was here. We didn't see.
We were here.
Well, did y'all say?
You didn't hear us?
No.
We were right over there. Right square dab over there, and that's Oates.
That's right.
Y'all see us?
No.
Well, but your car wasn't here. And then Miles' car wasn't here. But Rick's car was here.
Yeah. What car have I got?
The Chevrolet. That's the one we called yours.
Well, that's right, yeah. Well, it was...
It probably
tucked out back. Might have been. It might have been
back
down, by the barn.
Yeah. Well, we was. That's the only place we was.
Yes, that's right.
We were good while.
You just listen to the sound of a lot of chewing and you find us.
You know that Oats is getting tough now. It was getting big that day you saw it. And when they tear off a bite. But it's different. Now it's getting tough and...
You know, that's kind of
but they still like it.
Well, they have to.
Well, that's why they're saying, you know.
They haven't got anything else to eat. You see,
and
the grass
hasn't burned up yet.
Been coming out and then gets knocked back.
That's right.
And somehow, you know, I'm getting short of hay.
Well, we've been short and bought some. and I'm mad, and we're going to run short again.
I don't got anywhere to buy any. I wouldn't know any.
Notion. Marvin said I had 16 babies.
Baby calves.
Right fresh?
Mm-hmm. And more on the way. But every night we have one.
But you're not milking any.
Oh, no. My milk cow, she hasn't come fresh yet.
Well, I've got this little bull calf. He's one of the prettiest little fellas. This cow, she always has pretty calves. But see, she's over age and grade, and I don't want to let her have to raise that calf.
You don't want her to have to raise it?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Well, Marge ain't got a teeth.
Well, if you don't want her to raise it, and you want to raise the calf, get you a bucket.
Oh, I don't want a bucket. I'm going to hang it on the fence.
One of them that you hang on the fence.
Yeah.
Just hang it on the fence and get you some of this powdered milk, you know, the regular calf milk that make it. Medicated.
Yeah.
And add so much milk to so much water and just hang it on the fence and let him come down and get it.
Whenever he wants to?
Well, he'll want to whenever you just have certain times, maybe in the morning, hang it up there and he'll be there waiting for it.
Feed him three times a day. I did mine.
Yeah,
Three times a day if you're going to take him off his mama for a while. And then he'll get to where, in the time he's 2 or 3 weeks old, he'll have his head in the trough eating feed anyway.
Will he?
We never did have any trouble with him.
Keep him away from his mama.
Mm-hmm. He might not take that bucket for a day, or maybe day and night, but the next morning he'd be glad to get it.
I don't know why it warms up so fast. It was chilly in here and I was hot.
You must have a fever.
Miss Mary's candle, that's what's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, put your candle out, you're going to have a
wax
cake.
Miss
Mary, what did that little bird tell you?
What little bird?
The one that you was talking to Debbie about.
Don't you remember?
My little Peggy?
No. You know, you told Debbie.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. Better keep Debbie away from over there.
You think he got his cap?
I know something.
What do you know, Miss Mary?
I haven't heard this.
You telling Miss Mary?
I'm not going to be the one to tell you.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. I'm going to stay out of that.
Miss Mary, we have no take care of a child.
You sure better take care of her. Because I tell you.
You think they mean business?
Well, I don't know whether they mean business or not, but they're just fooling around.
He'll crawl back in.
Just as
May,
soon as hunting season
May.
Is over, he'll go back to bed.
Oh.
He'll stay there till about
he
first of November,
does.
And then he'll
I've
crawl back
I've seen his
out.
Hair. Well, Oz, this is the truth. If you don't believe it, ask somebody around the creek. He come out to the mailbox once or twice, and his beard would be way down in there. And his beard would be standing out like this, and his hair down his back.
That's,
I know, I never heard that.
He didn't have it this time, did he?
No, it's cut off now. But it'll grow back this summer. You watch.
Maybe if Debbie stays around, he won't.
Well, maybe so.
Hunting people.
Yeah, he crawls out hunting season. He stays out.
He likes to hunt. And hunting season comes in, while he'll get out and fish or do something, make him some money buying some gun shells.
Oh.
Hunt through the season, and then when the season's over, well, he goes back to bed.
Yeah.
And he lets his mom and daddy feed him till next hunt season.
You better.
Well, Mrs. Dodd was telling Debbie said that Mrs. Dodd was saying that Virgil was just mighty smart. He knew everything about where the fish was and all.
He's smart, all right.
He might do.
He's smart enough to.
I don't know about the fishing proposition.
Keep out of work.
Well, that's one of the earliest regulations.
But he don't know too much about cows, I don't think.
Them cows know what that truck was.
They wouldn't come. Miss Dodd stood there and said, "This is Virgil's truck there. I'm going to come because it's Virgil's truck. It's not my truck."
See, maybe she should have said the magic word.
Or that.
Just tell them, "Come on, cows. I won't drive my truck today."
I didn't know that. Those cows wouldn't come.
They get used to a truck or one vehicle where they don't usually like to come.
I miss going down to see my cows for 2 or 3 days and go down there, and they know it. I have to stand around them and walk amongst them and get them used to them.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody goes down there with us, they act like they're just bum scared to death.
Yeah.
It seems like they know, you know. They know a stranger.
Yeah.
They know if they've seen you before.
That is really good fruitcake.
It is.
It's a date called a date keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Date keeper.
Mm-hmm.
A date keeper.
It's got dates and coconut mostly.
It's really good.
You know, my old cows, last time that yesterday when they was over there, they were nervous as they could be in hunching. I didn't put them in oats this afternoon. I want to spread them out as long as I can. So I gave them a little hay. And, you know, they were still hunching and nervous down
there. I'd have thought you'd have been at the party tonight. Over Dodd's. Today's Bonnie's birthday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Mary, you could go over and celebrate with
them. I wasn't invited.
You can take your candle over there and show.
What's left of?
You all just quit making fun of my candle. Yeah.
Why, you could get Debbie and Virgil and go over and just have a lively time.
What?
Miss
Mary, you go along as chaperone?
Yes.
All right.
Virgil come to see me last week.
Oh, he did?
No kidding.
What day was it, Marty? Monday?
Monday.
Hmm. Yeah, he came and ate dinner with us. First time he'd been over in a long time.
Talk?
Mm-hmm.
Hunting?
No, he just come over.
Talking about hunting?
No.
Not a whole. Some of he did a little bit.
I asked him, did he get him a turkey this hunting season? He said he got one. That's all he said about the hunting season.
Yeah.
Talk about anybody we know?
No, ma'am. He didn't talk about anybody.
He hadn't seen anybody then, had he?
I don't know. He might have. sure did.
Oh, my.
Well, John Henry is my favorite, and I'll never have lunch with him because he's too busy.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I don't know what in the world that family would do without John Henry.
John Henry is...
He is the backbone.
Yeah.
But you know, John Henry's pretty old, too.
Well, he don't act as...
He ain't no older than you are.
John Henry? John Henry was a grown man when I was just a little bitty kid.
Oh.
He sure was.
I wouldn't shut up.
John Henry's right at 70 or better years old.
He ain't no use.
He
ain't no such thing.
John Henry sure is. So George is up in his 60s.
And John Henry's ahead of him?
John Henry's way ahead of George.
George ain't 60.
What he likes, I bet you he's 60.
I bet you he ain't.
I never laid eyes on George, you know it. But that John Henry, he's smooth. He didn't have on a shirt or shoes that day I was there, and he hair was all roach combed back, you know, and he was right polished looking. Polished. Yes. I wish I could remember some of the things he said. What was that, Marvin? I was trying to tell her face.
I'm going to show you something cute. It's old as a hill. I want to get somebody to... redo this for me. I'll show you. I've had this for years. I'll show you. Just read that and see how cool it is.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of light.
Looking back on slavery.
This is old Aunt Martha.
Peterson.
Peterson.
Uh-huh. Do you know her?
No, she was 1851.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And this show was in 1940. She took.
Uh-huh.
And that, I've had that
since. Had it since 1940.
Uh-huh. That's a story, her life story that she told.
Ah.
This is
just
all
on the page. Uh-huh.
Here she is plowing.
There she's plowing. Well, it's written in dialect, and you know, my pa and ma was Alvin and Rosina Smith. They were slaves of Jim Smith in Tuskegee. On the big plantation, most of all, the niggers worked in the field.
She can read it.
No.
Yes, she can.
She was reading just like it's spelled.
She was reading it right, just like it was. She
just
read
like
it better
spelled, just like
it.
The
you
old
don't
time
know those, you know those words better than she does.
Tuskegee. Where is that at?
I don't know.
Tuskegee.
Alabama.
Alabama, that's
uh-huh.
right.
She told it to Tim Campbell. You go ahead and read. You read it right.
My eyes are sort of wacky. You read it.
I can't read it like it's wrote.
Doesn't matter. Would you like
well, it? I
get this.
No,
let
no,
read
I,
it.
That's
no, I can't read it.
There you can.
No, I can't. Well, it's your
yeah,
article.
It.
You know.
Let me read it. Yeah, let me see.
You're acquainted
with it.
Most all the niggers worked in the big plantations, most all plantation field. A few of them was excused to work at the big house. Them was maids, houseboys, college boys, and wagoneers. There was always the old mammy what looked out after the sick children. Mama come from North Carolina with her white folks. She got married to Ma and Pa.
Got married to Ma and Pa.
This old lady talking, you know, telling. They had 9 gals and 3 boys. That's a bunch of kids, isn't it? They said they used to make Ma go to the field because she was such a good worker. Sometimes her children got sick and she played sick too to get to stay at the house and look after them. The white folks gave every Negro family a peck of meal, 3 pounds of meat, some molasses, and that was to last a week. Of course, they give them no flour for cake bread, only on Sunday. The white folks had niggers on the place what could do all kind of work, carpentry, blacksmith, shoemaking, and making cloth and all things like that. They had a tan yard in town where they made leather. We used to send hides up here. A nigger boy on our place named Vine Smith made all the shoes for the folks on the place. He make fine shoes, make shoes for the white folks too. On the plantation, they growed cotton, corn to feed the slaves and livestock, hogs and cows and cane and peanuts, fruits, gardens, taters, and wheat and watermelon. The way they made clothes in those days, they would have Negro women do the work. They put a spinning wheel in each house, and each woman had to spin 6 cuts a day. You know, I've heard of that.
6 cuts?
6 cuts a day, but you know, I don't know what that means, how many yards that means. I think it means 6 or 12. I don't know, but I heard there's no Negro woman, colored woman, when I was married. And she was a slave, and she told that same, some would spin the warp, and some spin the filling. On Saturday, they took the work uptown. They had the loom up there where they weaved the cloth. This loom was run by Ma Aunt Sylvia Smith. She could make all kinds of cloth. They'd take this cloth then and make the clothes for the niggers. They raised wheat on the plantation and thrash it and take it up somewhere around Auburn. This is where we got our biscuit bread. When the war come, Jim and Albert, the sons of old Marse Smith, went to war. They carried a nigger man with them as a servant. My old mistress just cried and cried when the boys left. She said, "My boys gone to the war and never will come back to me." Once the Yankees come and went in the smokehouse and took all the white folks' meat and give some of it to the niggers. They took the mules with them. My pa's brother, Calvin, could read. I don't know who taught him, but he would steal the newspapers, and his sister, what was the weaver up at the big house, would send him some papers about what was going on in the war. I was about 15 years old when I got married to Frank Peterson. Frank Peterson was a grown man. When he asked me to marry him, I told him yes. Ma went to town and bought me a wedding dress, yes sir, a white stovepipe dress and a pair of side lace black, what is that? G-A-I-T, gaiters, what's that?
Garter.
A white veil. My white folks, what I used to stay with in town, come down, showed us how to decorate the house with flowers and vines. We cooked a lot of cakes, chicken, and turkeys, and my white folks brought me a lot of presents. A white Baptist preacher married us, and there was plenty of white folks at my wedding, too. I had 4 children, but they all died at childbirth. I know most It was 'cause of the hard work I done on the farm. I had to plow and hoe and do all kinds of work, some same as the men did. My husband was a good man, but he just wouldn't take orders from the white folks. And that kept him always in trouble with the white folks and the niggers, too. Me and my husband got along pretty well till somebody commenced to trick us. They fixed up some stuff and sprinkled it around our doorstep. They say it was wasp's nest ground up. We commenced to have trouble. I'm getting old now. I was mighty healthy till about 5 years ago, and I commenced to fail in much. My joints with rheumatism from working so hard in the field with thin shoes on. I'm just sitting here looking back. They say Booker Washington brought the nigger to the delight. Some say he straddled the fence and was on first our side and then on t'other. I believe education helped the niggers to carry on his business better. If I could live much my life over again, I'd live it better. I done had two husbands. I don't do nothing but sit here and talk to my Jesus every night. And morning I ask him, how long you gonna let me stay here, Lord? And he say, I ain't ready for you yet. So I'm living on the promise of God and just waiting for him to call me. Isn't that something?
That is.
Well,
and now, you've had it since 1940.
I've had it for years. See, I had to paste it back together. It's that reminds me of Annie Elmer.
Who's that?
Oh, colored woman. She was used to sit and tell me about when she was a slave and how they whipped her. She said she told me many a time her white boss tied her to a field, to a stump in the field, and whipped her. Because she couldn't work hard enough.
And you knew her here?
Ain't Emma?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. I seen her. She was real old.
October.
And people used to get her to go and do their washing and she was that old, and Mr. Guthrie got her one time to pick some cotton, and I got after him about it, and I told him I wouldn't let her pick cotton for me. As old as she wasn't able to.
Yeah, she done think of a share.
But she used to sit down and tell about slavery time and what a hard time she had and the beating she took. That was Aunt Emma Vince, and not this one.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose that.
Well, you know, you've known a right good number of those old women like that, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Old Aunt Emma, and Aunt Hannah, and Aunt Hester, Woodard's mother. Yeah, I'm young.
Oh, she was nice.
Oh, yeah. There wasn't nobody no better than she was. She was such a good old woman. What was your mama's name?
Or what her call?
Mm-hmm.
Her name was
Phyllis.
Phyllis. Wayne, his dad's name was Wade.
And they called them all Aunt, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Aunt Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
Aunt Phyllis and Uncle Wade.
Well,
Aunt Hester.
I don't know why the children was all taught from way back younger to call them Aunt, you know, and they come up. And then they got a certain age, maybe past 50 or 60, was always Aunt and Uncle.
Hmm.
And the white children call them that, too.
That's right. That's what I mean.
And people used to didn't allow their white children to say Francis or Daisy or Phyllis. They know better than not to do it. Their mammy and daddy tore them up because they had respect for the old colored people.
And so they call them aunt.
That's right.
Seems like a long time, don't it?
It does. It has been a long time.
I'd like to talk to one of them right this minute.
Poor old Aunt Emery, you know she'd walk along with you. If she come to your house and you was gone, she'd get mad and wouldn't speak to you. Wouldn't speak to you. She come to my house one day and I was gone. She hold up her nose and she wouldn't even speak to me. One day she was going by the house, going to Hester's, and I went right along behind her and I walked up and I said, Aunt Emma, what are you mad at me about? Who said I was mad at you? I said, didn't anybody tell me but this way you treat me. I said, you won't talk to me. I said, you just walk by me with your nose in the air and your lips stuck out, and I said, you won't say nothing to me. She was over it.
That was an apology right
but
there.
But she got mad because she come to the house and I was gone.
Yeah. Well, she'd come a right smart little piece.
No, just across the woods. Just across the highway, you know where our mailbox is?
Sure.
Well, there's a round pond down there they call the Sugar Kettle Pond. I don't know why.
Sugar Kettle.
The Sugar Kettle Pond.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived out there in the little log house.
It's just made like a basin, a round basin. The pond
there. There used to be a colored church there.
There used to be two colored churches out there in them woods. Them woods, I remember when there's quite a few houses out in there. Pretty thick.
Oh, that's really?
A pretty thick settlement, mostly colored people.
Yeah.
Across from your mailbox.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Over
and
the
then
woods.
back north of us and west, west and north.
Well, you know, I have seen that when you get off the road a little piece and out in the woods and you don't know what you find.
That's right.
You can find I saw that when I was up to Alaska. We went up there to get some hands to see the work, and you'd go off on one of them little windy roads, and the first thing you know, you'd come out of them woods and there's a whole settlement back
mm-hmm.
there. You couldn't tell. You didn't know it was there.
Mr. Miles, who was that years ago? What was that man's name that they electrocuted at Sing Sing?
So many million people rode in from not to electrocute him, but they went ahead and did it anyway.
Rosenberg?
Huh?
Rosenberg, was that his name?
No.
It was a man.
It was a man. And he didn't kill anybody. Oh, what was his name? But I got his picture and the newspaper clippings at the house.
I can't think
and
of
his name. And his last request was for them to scatter his ashes. From an airplane. What in the world was his name? Just millions of people called and wrote and begged for him not to kill him.
Now that's, I don't even seem to recollect anything about it.
You would, I bet you're pretty. If you used to see his picture and read it, I bet you're pretty. You would. I can't think of
it. It's been since World War II.
No.
Well, he just wanted his ashes scattered.
Mm-hmm.
just got them out over there, just over the United
States.
He
beat them for I don't know how many years.
Yeah, he stayed.
They couldn't catch
him. No,
oh, they
he
had
was in jail.
They
he was
him,
in
but,
Sing Sing.
He was sentenced to death several times. Then he would appeal, and then he had another death sentence, and then appeal. And he was just a smart fella.
Oh.
And he didn't kill anybody.
No, he didn't.
The public
kill
thought that he had served enough time in that prison, so the public started writing in to the warden and the governor and also the president. None of it do any good.
Well, do you remember when Hosey Fagan's wife was killed in Gainesville?
No.
You don't?
He wasn't here. He wasn't around here at that time,
no.
I don't think.
If I was, I don't remember. Don't
no, we weren't here.
See, he was the county attorney.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't. He was state's attorney.
Well, anyway, I guess it was because it was a deaf and dumb fella that killed his wife.
Oh.
And the reason he killed her was that he was married, the deaf and dumb fellow was married, and his wife wanted a divorce, and this Fagan got the grounds for the divorce, and he just got revenge. So he watched his home and knew his habits and his wife's habits, what time they went in and went out, and when she come out, why.
I think you're mistaken about him being deaf and dumb.
No, he was a mute.
Well, I didn't know anything like that ever happened.
Because he stayed one jump ahead of him on the airplane all the time and got into, where was it, Canada or somewhere? And there was
somewhere.
A big reward out for him, and somebody read it in the paper and just... told the authorities where he was at.
Well, when I came down here, Hosey Fagan was one of the legislators.
Hmm.
As later.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a city attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not a public figure.
That's
hasn't
right.
He?
What? All that shooting reminds me of a Western movie.
Oh, Mary, I saw the best movie last week. John Wayne. Have you ever seen a John Wayne?
Mm-hmm.
In the movies? Which one have you seen?
I don't remember.
I've never seen one before until last week.
There's another one coming up, I think. I saw on TV tonight.
I did, John Wayne
movie coming up.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what. Oh, yes, it was that, he was going to play, what was it, Captain in the Army, I guess, or something or other, in some fort, you know, way back yonder.
Tomorrow.
I think it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
1:30, I believe.
You like John Wayne? What did he do in the one you saw, Debbie?
Oh, he went out to get some gold that had been stolen, and this woman took the whole gang out. John Wayne and his buddies out to get the gold and take it back. And then the woman was going to take the gold and go back and give it back to the Wells Fargo people and get the reward. And the reward was $50,000. So that's why John Wayne went along, because he wanted the $50,000 reward. He wanted his share. So they go through all this trouble, right? All these people chasing them and shooting at them. And they get back and they get on the train with the woman. They put the woman on the train, and John Wayne stands down off the train, and she's got a little boy that she's been telling him about in the movie, and John Wayne stands down on the train, and he says, "Ma'am, we thought about it. We just think you ought to keep all that $50,000. So she's She cries, you know. Oh, she just, that pleased her so much. So John Wayne walks down to the end of the train, and the train starts pulling out. And right on the end of the train, there's this man standing there smoking a cigar. And he looks down at John Wayne, and he says, "That sure was touching. Don't you know that the woman told him that she was married to this bank robber?" He says, "Don't you know that Wild Bill was never married? I've been chasing that woman for 3 years. I'm with Wells Fargo," he says. So John Wayne turns around and he jumps on his horse and takes off after the train. And all his gang looks at him and says, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm going to rob a train. What do you think?"
That sound like it?
Did you ever see such a thing?
Yeah.
You did.
Did you see? Have you ever seen that?
Did you ever see old Gabby Hayes' pictures?
No.
Old Gabby, he used to play good. And Hoppy Long Cassidy,
no.
You know, and all that bunch, the old bunch.
Gabby Hayes. I seen it 2-3 times, and I seen it twice on TV. He was dead. And they had him in a coffin, you know, and the people was all coming by, you know, and they was crying, and the flowers was just beautifully placed, you know. One old big fat woman come. She was allergic to the flowers.
He was.
Who got
it? Yeah.
No, she sneezed. And he raised up, and they all fainted. That's about the best picture I ever seen of Gabby Hayes. It was so comical.
Old Gabby was kind of like old Wishbone, and you know, you remember him in Trail Drive.
Oh, yeah.
Wagon Train.
Yeah,
I
Wagon
remember.
Train. He had a, you know, whiskers.
Oh, yeah.
And Gabby was.
Every time
very much
one of them
like
would
him.
Come up there, them women, you know, and look at him, some of them would be just crying, you know, and he'd open his old eyes and die right back. And this old woman, she'd come up there and she sneezed the biggest guy. And one or two of them fainted. And
he sat right up?
Mm-hmm.
In the coffin?
Yeah.
Just
sat up? Yeah.
I'm trying to see what was going on.
Oh. Well, there's a lot of fun.
What was that that was talking about the coffins? What was that Ms. Dodd was telling you, Shelley, about getting knocked out with that gun?
Oh, yeah. She told me the story about when her husband put a 22 Magnum shot into a 22 gun, and she fired it, and it came back and hit her in the head. Did she ever tell you about that? Mm-hmm. Oh, that was some story. She said that it was right after her oldest boy been born, Johnny, and she'd heard on the radio about some escaped convicts, and so she was lying down taking a nap. She said it was in the fall, so that all the leaves had fallen. And she heard this rustle under the house. So she thought, oh, no, it's the convict. She was sure it was. So she got up, and she got the gun, and she went out and squatted down and yelled under the house, "Come out of there!" And nothing came out. And so she just heard this rustle around. So she yelled again, "Come out of there!" And this poor old armadillo comes tearing out from underneath the house. Well, Miss Dodd shoots at it. And the gun kicked back because it had the wrong shell in it and hit her in the head and knocked her out.
Mm.
Just knocked her out flat. She said she went down and she saw the armadillo going up in the air as she went down. And she said she didn't know how long she was out, but she woke up and she looked up and she saw the pine trees and heard the birds singing. And she said, "I thought to myself, if this is heaven, it sure looks a lot like home."
Now that all comes from this boy.
Virgil.
Oh, Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that brought up the shooting, you see.
He was going to teach
her about guns.
He might do it.
He is. He ought to be a crackerjack.
But she told him she didn't have a gun.
Well, he'd got the gun.
Just so you got a gun, that's
no,
all you
need. You don't need a gun. They can furnish a gun and teach you to.
While I think about it now, I want to get that straight about that citation. Don't you remember we were talking about over there at dinner?
That's right. I never heard of anybody getting a citation.
Oh, Miss Dodd, you know, the patrol caller.
Oh, she said that the road patrol called her and told her that he wanted to commend her on the way she handled a car. And
he called her?
That's what she said.
Well, I thought he pulled her off the road.
The trooper?
Sure.
No, she had run off of the road into the ditch.
Oh, what? I didn't know that.
Yes, she had a wreck.
And she got a citation for good driving?
Yes, yeah, that's what she said. And I was telling Marvin about it, and Marvin said, I ain't never heard tell that.
I never heard tell of one calling you and congratulating you, you know, for having a wreck.
They always give you a
yeah.
Well, weren't you all pretty close to her?
Oh, we happened. We wasn't the first ones there, but
we was happened up there pretty shortly. I don't see how in the world she kept from hurting somebody.
Well, what did she do?
She just left the road and went into that ditch in that hole of water.
Come there and you're kissing a pine tree and a baby.
I don't see how in the world she kept from.
No, she didn't miss it that far.
And went right on by it?
Mm-hmm.
And went right on into that hole of water.
Yeah.
And went right through it.
Yeah, it was
and
going.
And I mean, it weren't nothing but a clay pit, you might say.
The car was going fast, though, and it was boggy. It must have had to be going fast to go through that mud hole like it did, see, because as soon as the front end of it come all the way out, but when it stopped, then the back end of it just bogged right on down. It was just that solid.
Oh, as long as it was moving, it was.
Yeah. But it had to be moving pretty fast because you can hit a soft place. If you ain't moving fast, or it'll start sinking.
Sure.
And she had it loaded.
She had all her children. Every one of them.
Coming from school.
Well, was she just? She must have just been in a hurry.
She was. She said that Burma was waiting on her. They were going to Palatka. And she naturally drives anyway.
Oh, does she?
She sure does.
You've driven with her?
I've been in the car with her. I went to Micanopy with her a time or two.
Yeah.
It don't take long to get there.
It don't take long to go. And I've been over here with her.
And it didn't take long?
It don't take long. It's near I don't like no fast driving.
They have trouble with their cars. Don't you know, they'll get a good car, and first thing you know, it's a little shaky.
Well, his, you know, that GMC truck he's got now.
Yeah.
He told me that he was pretty sure that he had burnt the motor up in it. The last time I talked to him, because somehow or another, he run it hot, and it froze up on him at a red light up there in town. It got so hot. And I don't remember now exactly what he did tell me about it. Anyway, he couldn't keep oil in it or something or other. It was wrong that he could, it wouldn't work. So he had just rebuilt that motor.
Just before it froze up?
Mm. But it run hot. The water leaked out of it somewhere.
I haven't seen a.
He told me all about it, but I don't remember exactly. So you know the words he said.
Do you?
I haven't seen them.
Do you check your radiator and all before you start out?
But I usually watch a heat indicator. If it begins to come on, then I know there's something wrong, and I begin to hunt some water.
Well, this, whatever happened to that cow Mrs. Dodd had that got caught in the fence?
You know, I don't know. I haven't heard about that cow.
Oh, the last I heard about it. Let me see, what day was it she was at the house?
She was over here.
And she told me, she said the horse had sore eye, did you?
She didn't say anything to me, Anna.
She told me that the horse had sore eye.
The pink eyes.
Yeah, said she had...
Same as the cow.
Little pink eye, and she said she didn't believe that the cow was going to make it. And told me something another that the vet told her. Oh, she said that the vet said that that pink eye was in that soil, and she'd have wait till next summer, and she was going to have a pink eye.
In the soil?
That's what she said the vet told her. That the pink eye was in the soil.
Well, you know,
soil.
I have heard it would get in that soil, you know, and they would pick it up. But then I've heard the black plague was out of way.
Have you ever heard,
heard
of the swamp fever?
Swamp fever.
A cow as well as
horses.
Horses.
Well, isn't that the same as, what do they call it, encephalitis?
Whether it's the same or not.
Has somebody got it, you know?
No, ma'am, I was reading it in the paper about people in a little magazine that we get that people should have their horses vaccinated against.
Well, see, they've been having some cases of it down south.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Seems like it's in the Everglades.
Yeah, way on down there where the mosquitoes is pretty thick.
You know,
oh.
I'd like to go down there to that Indian reservation.
In the Everglades?
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that. You say you're going?
I'd like to go.
Yes.
Well, Marvin, did you help her get the cow out?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what shape was the cow in?
She was cut up pretty bad. But,
How was it? How'd you find her? How was she?
Well, she had the chain. Had got the chain over a plow, you know, Freddie left a plow out there side the fence. And she had got that chain hooked over the plow. It was one of them crooked, you know, plows where he opens his watermelon ground with. And she had slipped that chain and got that around that crook like that, and she couldn't get it off.
Oh, on the plow, not the handle.
That's right, and had failed and twisted the chain, and she was just about choked to death. Well, the first thing we'd done was cut the chain off.
And she was there all night in that hard rain.
And,
choking.
Mm-hmm.
And all day next day, just about.
Yeah,
well did Berman go by there?
Yeah, he
the
said
cow.
He did.
And what?
He said he did. He come in while we was released. Well, we'd got the cow released and set up and give her some hay and water. And about that time he come in and he said that when he left for work that morning, he seen that cow there, but he forgot to call Sherilyn Teller.
Yeah.
But if it would have been me, I believe that I would have stopped. I mean, they wouldn't have prosecuted him for being a few minutes late. As a matter of fact, he could have taken off all
day. He wants to anyway.
He could have taken off all day. I think that would have went across and released the cow and then went on to work or just taken a day off. I think that's what I would have done.
Well, you know, that kind of costs them, doesn't it?
It does.
They had the vet out there several times.
But he doesn't seem to show any interest in them, in the cattle at all.
Yeah. Well, he got those melons again this year.
I know.
That's what he's interested
in. I don't know, maybe I'm different, maybe I got a softer heart than some people. But if I was to come along and see a cow, even your cow, in that particular minute. I would look you up and tell you I'd try to go and release a cow for you, one of the two. I mean, I just wouldn't ride by and see a cow or any other animal like that and just go on.
He can make more on one crop of melons than Shirley make on them cows.
I don't know. You reckon?
If she keeps paying them veterinary fees, he can.
You reckon that he could?
I never heard of anybody with as many, with as much trouble in the cows.
I don't know, Mr. Marks.
I don't.
It's too costly.
That's what I say. I don't see how they can make a whole lot.
Now, take all that hay they feed them. You take how many bales do they put up? 2,000 bales of hay. Well, that's $2,000.
Well, tell me one thing. It ain't none of my business what they do. But why in the world do they sell their hay?
They sell their hay and then buy hay.
Well,
turn
I
right
found
around
out.
And buy back.
Flathead told me.
What's that about the hay?
She told me. Who told me?
Well, I don't know. I didn't.
Well, Mr. Miles, when we cut hay right over there across the road from them, and when they go to cutting hay, people goes to hauling it. And they haul it all the time. And I was over there one day, and people from Cowhammer come and got a load, and then Ms. Dodd was talking to me one day, and she said to Wilkerson's, that's the people at Cowhammer, just come got another load. And well, they've been buying hay. Why in the world is it? They sell their hay and then turn around and pay more for
she
hay.
She told me what the trouble was. She said they've got two barns and they filled them both. And after they filled them, they didn't have the place to put it, so they had to sell it. And they were going to have to build another barn.
Well, that makes sense.
Let's talk about something else.
Oh, Lordy. Oh, shit. But
well,
you got it right.
What I was thinking of, we've got melons over here in front of us this year. I'd a whole lot rather have melons than corn. When they plant corn over there, all it is just a lure for the doves. And everybody comes through here. Everybody comes through here and stops. You see two or three cars over at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank
shooting.
You know that's
time.
Against the law?
Supposedly.
It is.
Yes, ma'am.
Without
it
you
is.
Got livestock in the field.
It sure is. It's against the law. It's even as much against the law to cut the bahia off of the ground. And when the doves comes in there, it's against the law to go and eat you.
Well, that you got livestock.
Because there's a man arrested down at Pasco and Morris Guthrie's pasture.
Well, there had been some arrested out there at Gainesville, out the other side. No, now.
That they
all
claimed that that baits.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's called killing them over a baited area.
Why? It's baited.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
But if you got...
Well, that pulls the quails in
Well, they better not let the game wardens catch them because they'll sure carry them in.
But they say if you got some livestock in there, some cows in there, it's okay. I don't see why it
would is
be.
Not because
well,
Morris had livestock
anyway.
In his pasture.
Well, you reckon the cows would supposed to be scare them off.
No. I think that the feed could be out there for the cows, maybe.
Oh.
And not for the birds.
Oh. Well, anyhow, and guess who's done it? And guess who's done it? A couple of niggers. Old Isaiah lives there with Miss Bessie. Has for a year or two. And he used to work down there at Wynn's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a garden back there for the last year or two, and he's had a good garden. He can garden.
Is that that large?
Yeah, he's large.
Well, he used to be real large.
Yeah. Did he?
Hmm. I guess the same one.
And Clyde Gill. And they were spreading the, and they got Patterson down here, see, Burnett, to break it for him. And he cut it and hired it. He got one over a couple of times. It looked pretty nice. Of course, it's just sort of sandy over there. I don't think there's much else there. And I didn't know if somebody said they were going to put melons in. I thought, you know, the woods people, they've had it all the time. But I never heard of Patterson working for them.
Well, now, I wonder, have they got any irrigation, or are they just going to make them without it, maybe?
A little pond down there.
Oh, they haven't got any irrigation.
Well, people used to make watermelons without irrigation.
Yeah, they can't anymore, though.
It doesn't seem so, does it?
You can hardly raise anything without irrigation.
Have you seen the irrigation?
No, I haven't.
You heard we talked about it.
I heard a little bit.
Yeah.
It's really growing.
He's got a system.
You got collars, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
yes,
beautiful collar.
We had some turnips,
right,
too.
Starting,
mustard?
Know, moderate light.
It'll have to be real light.
How are your potatoes?
They haven't come up.
They haven't come up.
Well, the ground, I think, has been too
the
cold.
The potatoes is not going to make.
Why?
Because we got onions planted down there, and the onions is going to get in the potato eyes, and they can't see how to grow.
Sometimes roots do mix up, though, don't they?
Mm-hmm. They do. You know, most anything will mix except mustard. You can't mix mustard with nothing.
No, it won't mix.
Sinus can't mix mustard.
Oh, really?
It won't mix with
any
other.
It comes out mustard every time.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I don't think he would know that was cabbage that we had. Some over there now. That burned the stuff I was selling.
It's just that
it's just like
green leaves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
no, as far as cabbage is concerned, I love them. I like cabbage.
Yes.
But I just can't eat them.
Yes, they don't like you.
That's right.
Well, that's too
well,
bad.
See, the doctor told me several years ago not to never eat any more cabbage, no way. And, I liked them, and I quit for a year or so, and she had some cabbage slaw there, made up, chopped up.
Mm-hmm.
I ate a little bit of that then, boy, I like it like the guy.
Oh, man.
So I decided, well, maybe the doctor does know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
So.
Well, Miss Mary, since he's been in the hospital, he doesn't even limp, does he?
And he don't limp when he takes his pill. he limped. Was it this morning or
yesterday? Yeah, it hurt me yesterday pretty bad.
Miss
Leslie's
going to kill him when she sees him. Because I told her she wanted
yeah,
him to
go.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to try to call her somehow or another. I can't. I got, before I can do that, I got to have two new tractor tires. And I'm not able to put them on until the 1st of March. Or don't want to, and wouldn't be able if I wanted to. I got so much else to do.
Yeah.
And she wants me to come over there to fertilize her.
That's too
fruit.
Far to drive a tractor on the highway.
But see, the front tires on the tractor, the rubbers will slap off of them, and on one of them, one of the cords is done eat through. So you can figure what a two-ply tire is after the rubbers wore off of it. And it on a highway.
It's getting kind of thin.
Yeah, it's getting thin. You can see the air in the tube.
Well, looks like like there'd be somebody closer down there.
Well, they got the,
her son's
her
living
son's
down
got
there,
a
and
tractor,
he's got a tractor.
She's got a tractor.
And a fertilizer distributor.
Yeah, he's got a spreader. But I'd say that I would take that spreader I got and go over there and use her tractor. Except for one thing, it won't fit that shaft. The shaft, is hers is a little 8-inch, and that's that small shaft, see? And this is one of them big joints, and it won't fit that shaft. So that eliminates that. Without, you know, you had a sleeve, you can get the sleeves for it to build that up.
Yeah, but her son doesn't have a distributor?
He has a, I guess he has a distributor. He fertilizes his pasture.
I think he's got an easy flow.
I think so,
why
too.
Why don't he do it?
Well, that's what I don't know. And there's Ben Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 3 tractors over there and 2 fertilizer spreaders, I know, because I've seen them over there.
Where is that?
Well,
on past?
You know where? No, sir.
Across.
It's on this side. You know where her pasture is. Before you get to the creek.
You know where her son lives, and
well, just across the road from her son's place. Maybe a half mile down the road.
Sure.
This man leases her pasture.
So he's what, a couple miles closer to her than I am. Of course, I don't know. Maybe she can't get him to do it. I don't know.
Your little dishes is cute. Are they something new you got? Is it cute?
Well, that's a long way to go on a tractor, though.
It is. That's too far. Burn my tractor up.
Well, I tell you, you know, I used to go out here and take hay out there, the cows on the tractor, and I quit that. You know, it doesn't take long. You've got to do something to the motor. And it's a whole lot more trouble to work on a tractor than it is an ordinary car.
Well, he can't work on our tractor. It's the way it's built. It's built so much different from what the one we used to have.
Is that new Ford tractor?
Yes, ma'am. I say he can't work on that.
Well, I think you'd have to get special tools, a little different tools from what you got to work on it.
Yeah.
Because it's Canadian made, I guess.
Mm.
But you know what? They put up everything on needle bearings. Roller bearings, not needle bearings, roller bearings.
Really?
In place of using ball bearings in the wheels.
Did
and
you have
the,
to go to stand
and the axles, you know, and the things. They use them roller bearings, them long.
Oh, look like nails with heads cut off.
Mm.
What's the advantage of that?
They won't wear out. Like them ball bearings, you know, it's turning in there in a sleeve.
Yeah.
And ball bearings will soon wear a hole in that sleeve and that bushing there. And they won't wear out.
Yeah.
Oh,
Paul called me.
Yeah.
Just before you came up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that the way it
does? She lives way out the other side of it, on the Newbury Road. And she called me, and I know that there wasn't anything wrong.
You got a ripe field. How's your rye?
Cows has eat it up.
They sure have.
It's gone.
They're still on it, but
it's a little late fertilized now, isn't it?
Well, it is, I think.
We haven't been able to get any fertilizer.
I was
going to
put some ammonium nitrate to it, and I called I got these people, and they said they'd have some in a few days and call me, and they didn't call me, so I just forgot about it.
You won't use my
man over yonder. Well, I wouldn't mind using him except for one thing. I hear he's pretty high.
Seminole?
Hmm.
And they delivered right to you?
The guy told me that he went down there to buy some snap corn. We have used them. They wanted $105 a ton for it.
They don't sell snap corn anymore.
I wouldn't wonder at it, not at that price anyway.
They got all this mixture now. Mm. Since that shortage, they've gone into these mixtures.
Mm. Them little old baby cows down there at the lake. Just amazing how they go there.
No, we've used them, though.
The top of that.
We've had them to bring stuff out at the house.
And some of them so short till they can't reach it. But you sure can. It makes them fill out.
Oh, no, that's
syrup.
That's Prolix, they call it.
Yeah.
Them calves.
They can't reach it good enough to lick it, but Marvin goes there and turns that wheel and smears it all on the top and on the side where they
run
get
down the side and then lick it.
They're crazy about it.
And then they get it
all over their face. What I don't know is if we have it out there in the summer, what's the bees going to do? Them bees are going to fill it up, won't they?
Oh, you'd think so.
I don't see why they wouldn't. It's, you know, they're after something sweet.
It is
molasses. It's a little bit. I've tasted. It's a little bit better, you know, like scorched.
It smells
molasses.
Just like cane grinding down there.
Well, I hadn't thought about the summertime.
But now the cows don't have any trouble.
Oh no. No, they learn it quick.
Yeah.
Well, what is that wheel?
It's a fiber. It's made out of a, look like a piece of fiber belt, you know, a regular sawmill belt.
Oh, yeah?
And as it turns, them cows will turn it, push it, you know, with their nose and lip and turn it. And as they turn it, that molasses sticks to it about that thick. And as they lick it, it keeps bringing it up like that, keeps turning that wheel and bringing it to the top.
Well, that wheel in. Is it got a little notch for their tongue to hook on?
No, it's smooth, just as slick as this table.
There's a hole there on top of the tank, and the wheel
the
sets
in
there.
In the slot.
Oh, I'm gonna poke it up.
And they lick it, you know, and it turns. And
one cow to the wheel, we got four cows can get to the tank at the time.
Oh, four cows,
mm-hmm.
Four
wheels. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, a cow can only eat so much, and he's got to quit. He's got to go and hunt him a drink of water, and he can't stay there more than 5 minutes at the most.
Yeah. Oh, that's what they
mm-hmm. So when he leaves, another one will take over while he's gone hunt some water.
that's
and then you can just put the water down away and keep him off wild.
I think what they tell us, 3 pounds a day, I think, per cow is sufficient.
I don't have a little white Charley calf yet.
Not this year.
So I think we're going to sell our bull.
Oh. Yeah, I'd rather have a black bull in here.
Well, it doesn't hurt to try out these new ones.
No, it sure doesn't.
I'd take a Brahma, that'd be my choice.
Well, now Hogan's has got
you
a Brahma over there, and
the
he likes
woods,
him mighty well, and he's gentle.
Oh, really?
But what happens is you get, there's bound to be some of them that's going to be skittish. They're going to take back after their ancestors, and they're going to be skittish.
Oh.
Well, out there in them woods, it's going to be hard to do anything with a skittish cow or calf.
Oh.
So that's the reason I don't like the Brahma. I like them, but not for that, not for the woods like that.
Yeah.
And at Angus, they on the tame side. They're all on the tame side. There's no wild to them.
Yeah.
And the only thing I dislike about them, they'll sull on you sometime or don't want to go. But they won't run too much. It will. Once in a great while.
Solid?
Mm. He just want to stand there and don't want to go. I mean, if you want to go carry him somewhere, put him in the truck.
What were we talking about that hurricane that filled the woods with
water? Oh, that fishing deal.
You didn't really get to fish in the woods, though.
Yeah. Sure
you mean we didn't catch fish? We went all over the woods out there in fine
boat.
Trees and found metal patches and catfished.
With a boat and a motor.
That's an awful lot of water.
That's a lot of water,
that's
but
right.
We had a lot of water.
Was that a hurricane?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
When was that back in
1941.
41.
Mm-hmm. It washed up River Styx Bridge, and it washed up the road.
Well, that old concrete bridge, it washed that out?
No.
This was an old iron bridge.
They had a wood bridge that was iron rail where they had the iron beams there, you know, for the wooden planks that was bolted to.
And it still took it?
It still took it.
Iron beams or not?
Hmm.
I didn't know they could
but
do
come
that.
Over, and the water was rushing so fast that it just
you know,
cut
Mr.
piling
Mr.
up Mr. under. Swink,
that's where he killed himself.
About that same time?
Hmm.
I don't know where it's about that same time or not, but it weren't too long after that.
Yeah. He got caught in the water.
No, he shot.
Did you know Miss Swink?
Mm-hmm.
So he got up on the railings of that bridge, so I understand.
Did you all ever know the Bradleys down here?
They died before we got here.
Where the Glisten boys?
Yeah. They were gone before we got here.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew Miss Swink.
You did. She was a high flyer, wasn't she?
Oh, she was.
And Mary was too.
That the daughter?
And his sister.
Sister. Oh, was she? How did we get to talking about that hurricane filling the woods with water? That was, I never knew that much water coming in. That really water.
The water from Newnan's Lake comes into River Styx. That's what helps overflow it.
Oh, I see.
It don't have a thing to do but just come out of Newlands Lake right on into the River Styx. But Mr. Hit Rain, we used to have the hurricane.
Dr. Strange, I think what got it started, we got talking about a rabid dog that was over at Windsor, and we was talking. Well, we Mad Dog bit one time. Me and her and James, I guess.
You all were bitten by Mad Dog.
Mm. And Dr. Strange, well, we was about 3 or 4 days overdue then. And we went there, and he didn't have that serum. And he said, well, I'll order it, and y'all come back tomorrow. And we knew that we couldn't cross River Styx. We had to go all the way around by Citra and come to Magnacross.
The water was up there.
Yeah. And so that night, that serum come in sometime that night, and he got it. And him and his nurse undertaking to come from McIntosh out to the house after midnight, after 12 o'clock, and give us some shots. And they got to River Styx and drowned the old car out, but they got out and swam and waded, and eventually they got to the house.
Out of all things. Dr. Strange
and his nurse did that.
Why, Marvin?
And then when they started to leave, I don't remember now just exactly what we'd done. I think I carried them as far in the car as I could. No, it couldn't have been that because... I don't remember now exactly just how we got them back home, but we did.
But I know we had to go around by Citra
twice
a day and take shots.
Twice a day and take some shots. Twice a day.
Twice a day?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awful to take, aren't you?
Weren't no more than taking any other shot.
Oh, really?
Flu shot or anything else.
Oh, I thought you just got shot in that.
No, you got to take 28.
See, we had went so long.
28.
Where'd you get bit?
I didn't get
bit on the hand. She, I think she had a skin place or something on your hand, and dog taking a hold of it or something. But I don't know.
No, the way it was our dog, and he went mad. And I told Mr. Guthrie and Marvin that there was something wrong with the dog. Something badly wrong with him, and they had him tied up under the shelter. And we had a coat. It's just beginning to turn 3 years old.